You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday. We are back and we are doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire. I'm a little far away from the mic here. All right, a little more centered. So today is my last live day until Friday. What that means is that I am going to Disney World. So I am pre-recording a bunch of the other ones, but today we are going to get into the Chris Partridge news, of which we don't have a firm full understanding of what that is yet. Certainly it's been rumored for a few days. We're gonna get into that, and then we're gonna start getting into my lists. I did a whole bunch of lists for Wolverines Wire. I didn't even check to see what days or which are running, so we're gonna jump the gun a little bit. So that's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna start off with the Chris Partridge stuff, and then we're gonna get to my ranking the position groups, which I think runs on Thursday. That one I know is not running tomorrow, but we're gonna jump the gun. That's what we're gonna do. So I don't remember if I said Locked On Wolverines podcast, all that stuff, but let's get into it. First, the Chris Partridge news reported by On3. Chris Partridge is returning to Michigan. It's been fueled by rumors. The rumors are still somewhat abound about what that's going to look like, and we're not really sure yet if it is, if he's replacing a coach. The rumored coach is George Hilo. I'm still trying to get clarity on that, and I've reached out to people, and I haven't heard anything, which usually means that there's something happening. Let me put it that way. Usually, if something isn't happening, you get it quick. No, that's not happening. If something is happening, sometimes you get silence. So I had reached out to some people over the weekend, didn't hear anything, and now Partridge is in. He kind of prelude that he was going to be coming to Michigan. He kind of let it, like, a little hint out on Instagram. It's blown up since, after I shared it with Clayton Safey. He shared it, and it blew up after that a little bit. But there were no likes or comments at the time. It was like 4 hours posted. Maybe it had likes. It had no comments. Chris Partridge himself was at Disney World. And he said, like, love a good roller coaster or something like that, with maze and blue heart emojis. So it was pretty clear that he was probably coming back. Right? So that was kind of the prelude. Then it got announced by Michigan, but at least announced by On3 that he was returning in some capacity. There was no indication of, is he going to be on-field coach? Is he taking over the Biff Poggi role? Keep in mind that his trajectory in Ann Arbor, he started off as the recruiting coordinator in 2015. He retained that role in 2016 while moving to be an on-field coach, coaching linebackers. And I believe he started at linebackers. At one point he was safeties, and I think that's where he left, was when he was with safeties. He started off with linebacker because Brian Smith came on to coach safeties at that time. So he was one of Michigan's best recruiters. He was absolutely phenomenal at that. So in getting him to come into the fold, Michigan will be, regardless of who they're replacing, unless it's Jay Harbaugh, and Jay doesn't have as marquee names as Chris Partridge, but Chris Partridge was a phenomenal recruiter to Michigan. And the only reason he left, and I'm going to shout out Rich Lempert, because he likes to tell me what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong, which I appreciate, actually, because he's very respectful about it. I'm going to give you some inside tea about him that I can share. So, and Zuri's very interested in that. This now suddenly very clean puppy that got a bath and got her teeth brushed and all of that stuff as she prepares to go bye-bye. Sorry. So the only reason why he left, I mean, he was one that kind of saw and felt the Don Brown sinking ship and things with the signals that were going on. The fact that he felt like he wasn't going to be able to advance the way he wanted to. Keeping in mind, he started at Paramus Catholic as the head coach and then, you know, moved up the ladder at Michigan. And he wanted to be a defensive coordinator. Obviously, he'd like to be a head coach at the next level. But he was looking somewhat for a way out. Not because he wanted to leave Michigan. He was what he was hoping would happen, from what I was told, which was not by him. It was by someone else close to the situation that could not divulge, you know, they couldn't speak on the record about it. The plan was for him to leave, go be a defensive coordinator somewhere, and then hopefully do well there while Don Brown didn't do, you know, continued down the path he was going down, which was, I think they thought it was going to be good, but still loses, you know, to Ohio State the way that they did, and that he would come back. The other option that was on the table was make him a co-defensive coordinator with Don Brown. That was never going to work. That just because Don Brown, being a guy who's been a longtime coach, he was never going to accept that. So that was the hope and the goal for him. He got the Ole Miss offer while I was at Disney. Actually, he got it. It happened when I was at Disney. He already got the offer. It became official while I was at Disney, and I had it all. You'll note that I had it pre-written that he was going to Ole Miss, which you probably wouldn't know offhand, but that's how it went. I was walking through Toy Story Land, and it became official at Hollywood Studios. So, and all I had to do was hit publish. Now he's back. And it means a lot for the state of Michigan football recruiting. Could mean a lot for Michigan football coaching. It'll be interesting to see. I hope it's not at the expense of George Helo, because he is one of my favorites. But that's what the rumors have been. And I don't normally like to address the rumors, but I mean, they're pretty widespread at this point. And I haven't gotten anything to refute it at this point either, which usually doesn't bode well. But we'll see. Anyway, let's get to our list. We'll split it up 8 and 8. With the position groups. But before we do that, let me see. Got to see what we're doing here. Problem when you're doing 4-part podcasts at once. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post company and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. You want to achieve your goals in 2023, just like Michigan needed to go to the transfer portal and get the right team members to help them achieve their goals in 2023. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Got my microphone falling, all that kind of stuff here. All right, let's move on to my list. And we are going to be lists from here on out. Remember, if there is breaking news happening during the week, I will not have a reaction until Friday at the earliest. So that is how that is going to go. But I ranked the top. Actually, I got 9 position groups here. I did not include special teams because that is it's kind of its own deal. My confidence in the 9, I had it 8, but I forgot a position group. So We will go 9 through 5 and here, and then we're going to go 4 through 1. And I'll explain why here. So my number 9, and it's sad to say this because it's weird because I actually have a lot of confidence. This speaks to the quality problems that Michigan has right now. My number 9 is cornerback. So the reason why I have cornerback is because it's the only position group where there isn't like a, okay, this guy's going to, you know, like, let me try to back up and explain here. If I can get my microphone to just not fall every 2 seconds here. We're facing problems we used to face at the old space that I haven't faced in a while. All right, that'll do. So the coaching, I think, is stable, which I didn't mention in the article, obviously, because Steve Klingscale has been absolutely amazing at coaching defensive backs, being the defensive pass game coordinator. Will Johnson, who's going to be a starter, we think is probably really amazing. I mean, he ended up ranking as one of the top cornerbacks in the country, regardless of being a freshman. And you may usually make that first, the biggest jump from year one to year two, I think. And then you make another relatively big jump from year two to year three, and then year three to four, maybe a smaller jump. That's how that tends to go as far as when the lights turn on. Sometimes it's later, but usually it's earlier. But we don't know who's going to be playing opposite him. Now, including Mike Sainer, still in with the safeties, because that's where the nickelback position is it's housed. But I think that Jaden McBurrows would be the one that I think is probably going to get the run in the spring, assuming he's healthy. And I believe he is. So it's a situation where Michigan's got one guy for sure. They'd like to have, they've tended to want to have three guys. And they've got one guy for sure, maybe a second. And then behind him, it's maybe Jaden McBurrows. I'm assuming Jalen Perry's moved on at this point. And then you've got a litany of other guys that are all big maybes. Miles Pollard, Cody Jones. Could Jair Hill or Cam Calhoun be an early contributor? I wouldn't bet on it early. Maybe later in the season like Will Johnson was. So you don't have necessarily German Green, let's include him in there. It's not a very deep position group. So that's why I don't have a lot of faith in it. Because if Will Johnson locks down one side of the field and another guy lets everything through, then it's a problem. But it's a quality problem in the sense that I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think if they field Will Johnson and Jaden McBurrows and German Green is cycling through, I think that's honestly going to be pretty good. I think. And if they have to start out with that, by the end of the year, it'll probably be okay. And, at least they'll figure out the rotation. And the likelihood of them probably targeting someone in the transfer portal in the spring once the portal opens back up, I think is pretty great. Number 8, always down near the bottom ever since Devin Bush left, really, is linebacker, and that's unfortunate. They've got some guys there, certainly, but it still could be better. And that's kind of an issue. And right now, we don't know for sure what the coaching situation is there. So that's also a part of it. But, Junior Colson is above average. Not quite the elite player that I was hoping he would be. Michael Barrett really ascended throughout the season. Very, very good. Jimmy Rolder got more playing time, but he was very inconsistent. Khalil Mullings, kind of the same, but obviously ended up playing more running back at the tail end. I forgot to even in my article to mention Nakai Hill Green, who should be back. So maybe that would put him up a tick, but not really. And then you add Ernest Hausman, who was kind of middling in PFF, but was rated number one overall by 24/7 Sports before Travis Hunter entered the transfer portal. So certainly there's a lot of possibility and opportunity at that position. I just want to see it uptick a little bit, because if the linebacking core can play elite level, Michigan will, I think, win everything. Usually teams with an elite linebacking core are they tend to be the best defenses in the country. And I just cannot keep this microphone from slipping for whatever reason. Making all kinds of noise over here. I'm just going to have to slouch on video. So that is my number 8. Number 7, I have defensive line. It's kind of sad seeing 3 defensive groups down here near the bottom. But that said, I still think Michigan's defense is going to be at worst a top 10 unit. So defensive line is, it's just a more question marks personnel-wise, because you lost Mozzie Smith and Mike Morris. You lost some guys that maybe weren't, were kind of middling, were good, but middling. Ayabi Oki, who I thought probably was going to really ascend this next year. But some other guys like Julius Welskoff, George Rooks, those guys are gone. But you still got Jalen Harrell. I'm including the outside linebackers in this group. You still got Jalen Harrell. You still got Braden McGregor. You still got Derek Moore, who I think is really a climbing player. So there's a lot to really like about those guys. You add Josiah Scott from Coastal Carolina. And Mike Elston has done a fantastic job in his 1 year at Michigan. And that's not a surprise given what he did at Notre Dame. But I still have them down near the bottom. There's some guys that are coming in that haven't been in there. And I forgot to mention Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, and Rayshon Benny, who I think that makes for a pretty good interior rotation, to be honest. I'd still like, it'd feel more comfortable if there was one more guy that you knew was just going to go in there and destroy. Chris Jenkins is the centerpiece. I think he'll be really great. Outside guys, I think, are good. They right now don't have like a full-on game wrecker for sure, but some guys that very well could become that. So I'm curious to see. Braden McGregor really felt like he was on his way there, and Josiah Scott could end up being that guy. All right, we'll finish out this segment with number 6. Nope, sorry, we're going to do 2 more. Number 6, we got wide receiver. That fool me once, shame on me, is where we're at with that. Because last year, this time and deep into the fall, I had wide receiver up at number 1 or 2. So confident that the wide receiver group was going to be amazing. All these names, all these guys who could really break out, and not much. Ronnie Bell was very good. He got almost 900 yards. Cornelius Johnson got 121 yards less than he had the year before. Was kind of inconsistent. Made the plays when they really mattered, however. Indiana game, Ohio State game. Need to see more. Roman Wilson very well could be my breakout player. AJ Henning, I just feel like we're waiting on him to look like what we think he can look like. And then you got the trio of sophomores who I think are going to be really good. You've got 2 of the freshmen on campus already, Samaj Morgan, Frederick Moore, and I think Carmelo English is the type of guy who can come in and make a early impact as well. But I want to see it. I really want to see it before I start to buy in. Which leads to my number 5, and that's the tight end group, who is the most decimated of all the offensive positions. Because you lost your 2 starters entering the year, Luke and Eric. You've got a second-year guy as your focal point in Colston Loveland, who I think is going to be very good. Max Bredesen turns out was one of the top blockers, according to PFF, in pass blocking, not in run. And you bring in A.J. Barner. You still got Matthew Hibner, who's kind of been biding his time. You've got the freshman, or now sophomore, you've got Marlon Klein. And then you're bringing in Deacon Tony Alley, a 4-star. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, but they're going to be a focal point of the offense just because that's how this offense works. So I have a lot of confidence that's going to end up working out. And it's led by a guy who might be the best pass catching tight end that they've had. And that says a lot considering what they thought of Eric Hall. All right, let's move on to the top four of my position group rankings here momentarily. Before we do that, however, looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and calories, then you've got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. I've done so good today. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You've got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they are so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't get to wait around or need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've talked about ordering your Built bars at Built.com, and now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with their hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. All right, let's continue on. I've got 4 more positions for you. How are we doing on time? We're doing pretty good on time. This is probably going to be our longest of the 4 days. And then cap it off with probably a 2-hour long mailbag. Every time I turn around, this microphone is just dropping. It's just dropping and dropping. I'd rather lay down here if you're watching on video. I don't know why. I didn't do this at all for the first couple months of me being here. And today it's, for whatever reason, decided that's what it's going to do. And Zuri wants to know what's going on with it. She's just rushed over here to the rescue. Anyway, we've got 4 more position groups. Let's take a look at what they are. We'll go from there. All right. So up next, number 4, I've got quarterback. And the only reason why quarterback is so low is because there's one guy we have any certainty in. And that's J.J. McCarthy. Behind him, we think Davis Warren's probably pretty good. But you know how it is when a guy is an unknown commodity. It's prove it to me. If he was like a 4-star or a 5-star, we'd all be like kind of, you know, like, ooh, I wonder what he would look like. But we aren't like that right now. Last two years, it was Cade and JJ. And now it's just JJ, which is good in some respects because it's his show. It's not good in terms of, if something was to happen to him, there's no telling what that passing game is going to look like. So that's where we're at with it. That makes it our number 4 one, because behind him is Davis Warren, Jack Tuttle, former Utah and Indiana quarterback. Then, you know, it's any litany of guys. Pick who's in what order. Alex Orji, Jaden Denegal, Kendrick Bell. I'm sure I'm missing some in there that very well could be in there. But it's still something of an unknown commodity to some degree. Up next is safety, which is the deepest defensive group, let alone defensive back group. Return all 3 guys that are considered starters, Makari Page, Rod Moore, and RJ Moten. You've got some up-and-coming guys that you feel really good about. Keon Sabb, Zeke Berry. Mike Sainer still is in that group as well. I mean, that's, and it's a Jay Harbaugh coach position. That's about as good as it gets. That is about as good as it gets. Rod Moore, really ascending. Makari Page really turned on the Jets. RJ Moten has been solid. Not necessarily spectacular, but he's been solid. And you've got some high-end talent behind them. So I think that group is sky's the limit. You've got a bunch of different bodies you can throw in there, and that feels good. So now we're down to 2 and 1. So our runner-up is the offensive line. That's right. I put the offensive line behind the running backs. And here's why. Because even though this is a 2 year in a row winning Joe Moore Award group. I completely botched that sentence, but you know what I mean. Even though that's what they are, there's some new pieces. Now, four starters are actually returning for three positions. So the question is like, how do you want to handle that? There's many ways you can do that. But then you bring in those three transfers, all of whom are starting caliber. And then you add in the guys that were kind of already ready to go. Gio Alhadi, Jeff Percy, Reese Atterbury. I'm missing one. Raheem Anderson or Greg Crippen. I don't know which one. It's a deep group, but the thing is they all have to work as a unit more so than some of the other groups. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how and what with them. So I have them number two, and the only reason why I have them number two is because I think that it's not even the whole room, but just because you've got two guys at running back, number one, that are just so good. That would probably be starters anywhere. Like, Blake Corum would start anywhere. He's that type of guy. There's no one in the country that would be looking at Blake Corum and saying, we're good. Especially as a senior. Senior Blake Corum, every single team would be like, yes, please. You will start. And then Donovan Edwards, I would say there are probably only a handful of teams in the country that wouldn't say that. That's an embarrassment of riches. Now, behind them, maybe you can make the argument that they should be number two on my list, because behind them, that's a big question mark. But you really just need one guy that can carry the load. I mean, today's college football, you need two. They've got two. But I think that, you know, now that you've got an older C.J. Stokes, if you really want to mold Kalel Moeling for that role a little bit more, then, you know, by all means. And then you've got Cole Cabana. You've got Benjamin Hall. You've got Tavier Dunlap. You've got Isaiah Gash, who's on scholarship now. It feels pretty good. Really, it's those top two guys. But Donovan Edwards showed you just how good he could be in the absence of Blake Corum. So I have them the number one group. Agree to disagree with me, that's fine. Or disagree to agree, I don't know. But that's going to do it for Monday's episode. Stay tuned for our Listapalooza week. That's coming up with a Tuesday episode of the 15 most important players heading into spring. We'll get to that on Tuesday for you. For me, it's going to happen right now. Thanks for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back very soon. Peace.